Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Okay, first week of October, and weather has changed more to like a fall atmosphere.
We're back to normal.
Back to normal. Yeah, the 80-degree days are gone.
That's right.
So,
I went and got my flu shot today. Wish they said it don't work, but, you know.
Okay, I got a notification in my email from the West Shore Medical folks out there to come and get one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I got my water right here. I got it, so I guess.
I'm going to drink me some fluids now. So I don't know. My mom believes in it. She's 91 years old, okay?
Yes.
And she believes in that flu shot. So, I mean, if I got to go with wisdom of 91 years, dog, I think we need to go get a shot.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I went and got mine today, so I'm all set. So I guess I can do some tailgating. When this show airs, I think Michigan State probably will be beating Michigan.
It's a night game.
Yeah, it's a night game.
So it'll be just before.
Just before.
So everybody will be, you know, preparing, you know, all the munchies and goodies to sit down and enjoy the rivalry.
Nobody hasn't attacked me on social media yet.
Everybody's really?
Guys, I usually get a lot of attacks and death threats. But I'm around, so it'll be ready. I'm trying to figure out which Michigan fan I'm going to get my claws on before I get started. But
I think it's going to be competitive.
Yeah.
I really do. You know, last year, I think they kind of got the best of the Spartans. But this year, I could see them pretty even.
We didn't have no quarterback last year. Our quarterback was
tough. Yeah, and Michigan's got that same problem. So their quarterback is out.
Yep. He needed to be out. He needed to transfer.
I don't know what Harbaugh seen in that guy, but he just didn't seem to be the individual that could get him to that next level in college football. So, but you know, strange things happen. Guys get hurt, the next guy step up, and they never get their job back. So
some guys get on campus and they change.
They'll
be the guy they was in high school.
Right. Because, you know, you was that guy in high school, but when you get to college, everybody is that guy.
That's right.
So it's a whole different level of talent.
And then depending on how you practice in high school, this is different.
Oh, yeah.
So that's real dog practice probably. So everything shifts. And you're like, wow, I'm not in Mayberry anymore.
All right. In Kansas.
Yeah, I'm throwing 5,000 yards. Now somebody coming at me and they're not treating me like a king.
Right. Yeah, so it's going to be fun. I'll be looking forward to watching that football game.
Yeah, we got
how they doing.
Our Lions pulled it out.
Again.
They're doing their thing. They'd be 4-0 right now if it weren't for the referees.
Yeah. And I still have a problem with the call. You know, you can do the replay, and they say, the knee was down. And
I seen the pictures of every video. His body was straight.
I see, you know, like, think about it.
Nobody was even near him either. Like, he just caught it.
No, I think the guy was on him.
Yeah.
But they're saying when the knee touched, he was down. But yet, when it touched, he was across the goal line. You know, why is the goal line so different when, you know, on a first down in the middle of the field, wherever your knee may touch, but where your body fall is where they place the football.
That's right.
Only when it's a touchdown is when
they keep the ball at the knee.
Where the knee touched.
Yeah, like the ball in front of me, but my knee is down.
Yeah.
So my knee is the goal line.
It's weird. And then the bad part about that one was, even though they did the review, they did a 10-second runoff. So, in other words, they had an opportunity
to have one more play.
But because of this rule of a review, then you have to run 10 seconds off the clock. And that doesn't make any sense. So, I think that'll be a rule change.
That was the Falcons, wasn't it? They played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Had the Falcons. They had them.
Super Bowl contenders. they had them on the ropes.
Yeah. They had them on the ropes, man.
They're going to see them again probably in the future.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
They got, the Panthers this week. They took care of the Raiders last week.
I know.
Cam Newton and the boys got them Raiders. So.
Yeah. Marshawn Lynch be coming through. That boy is straight crazy.
So that's going to be another good game, man. You know, speaking of rule changes,
yes.
What does the NBA just did?
Oh, October. For one, the NBA starting October 17th. I know that.
Yes, sir.
But then they just did
regular season.
The All-Star game is going to be like an outside hoop game at the park.
Is that right? Gym.
Like
I never read the whole story. I just seen they was changing from it won't be East versus West.
No, it'd be like I'm a captain, you a captain. The fans vote, the media votes, and the coaches vote. But the players' percentage is going to be either 50% to 40% or 25%. So okay. It's going to be a breakdown. So the players will be able to pick out the pool that the fans got.
Oh, so like a
draft. I want him on my team. Okay. So D-Wade probably play against LeBron. Or Chris Paul probably play on the same team as LeBron for the All-Star game.
Okay.
They're going to really mix it up like an Olympic team.
Okay.
That's going to be two Olympic teams out there hooping.
Trying to get a little more fan interest in that.
But then that'll help the Olympics too.
Oh, of course. Because
they say, wow, this lineup looks good. These dynamics look good. And then it's going to be more fan interest. So they just wear their regular jerseys and they have blue and white. They have white, a home side and a away side. Just wear the dark colors and white colors. Or they might come out with a new jersey and everything. But I just know the ratings were down for the All-Star game because there's no defense.
No, it was no defense. There was no really no incentive. You know, like in baseball, the All-Star game determines who has home field advantage when it comes to the World Series playoffs.
That mattered then.
So there's some skin in the game now.
Yeah, so people showing up trying to win.
Right.
That's my checkup.
My chances of having home field advantage.
The bonus check, too, right, in the playoffs. Yeah,
they don't pay the record. And they also redid the draft. The lottery draft now has changed to where it's the bottom three teams get the same amount of ping pong balls.
In the NBA.
In the NBA.
Okay, ready to put it together.
Whether that, you know, really makes a difference because they're trying to get teams from tanking towards the end of the year. So that's going to be interesting. So they're trying to evolve the NBA because, you know, football is still king. NFL is still king. But the NBA is definitely doing the right things to keep fans in the seats.
Yeah, like the first game of the season being October 17th and the Celtics versus the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Celtics versus the
Cleveland Cavaliers. How they do that?
That was just a roll of the dice, man, when the schedule makers got together.
That's gonna
they
be
just said, we want to put those guys out there first. So
because they played each other in the playoffs. It was an all right series. You know, they got ran over.
Right.
But now the whole dynamics of both teams look
flavor.
And now you got the nemesis from Cleveland and the Celtics.
In the Celtics uniform. So, yeah, I don't know where it's at.
The game's going to be, I don't know, you don't know where it's at?
No, but it will be televised.
Yes, it will be. It's going to be
in color, living color.
It's going to be on social media and everything.
Yeah.
It'll be all over.
Yeah, so the NBA ratings will definitely be high that night just to see this, how these guys interact on the floor. Sort of like the Westbrook and Durant situation, you know, when they first got a chance to play each other, how the dynamics worked. People are interested in that. So a lot of sports, man.
A lot of sports.
You know, the Big Red still smashing people, and looks like there'll be another one, you know, coming up. And then we have the Shores game, which – everybody is looking forward to. No, I am. So I just can't wait.
And that's 2 weeks. 2 weeks, right?
2 weeks, yeah, over at Shores.
The finale.
Yep. We head over there, and then the last game we end up with Jennison. Then playoffs. So it's going to be fun. Next two months are going to be fun.
Muskegon already got their bid in, don't they?
Six. All you got to do is win six, and you in. So we've qualified for the 18th consecutive year. Qualifying for the playoffs, still the winningest team in the state of Michigan. So, what else do we have on our agenda? We miss anything from sports before we get into the show?
I don't think so. That's major.
We're good.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Okay.
Today is what we have: getting income for life. And I can remember you saying this a while ago, talking about get your buckets in order.
Yeah.
So, like, we're talking about basketball season, get buckets. We're talking about really now get buckets, like income and for life. So, I brought some notes today out of some articles and stuff I've been searching. And it says, what goes in the buckets? So, you got, and I have it's a picture of three buckets. It's got a bucket for later, a bucket for soon, and a bucket for now. The bucket for later says you can invest more aggressively in the later bucket. Then the soon bucket is a source of income over the next decade.
Okay.
Next 10 years after we're talking about retirement. Then now bucket is for the current expenses and emergency fund.
Yes.
That means like vacation. You might buy, lease a nice car. Because I know a lot of people in their golden years, they pull out that,
that
new Lincoln on you.
Yeah, you've been waiting.
New Cadillac. They've been waiting. I'm like, they got a brand new Caddy.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, I had to cash that out.
I got
time
now to ride around in it.
And ride around.
I was working. It's sitting in the garage. There's no sense in that. Now I got time to ride.
You know them brothers, when they got those Cadillacs and they did the right service, the 30 years into the job, they had the Vogues on there. Yeah. It's clean. It looks like glass riding down the street. So, you know, it's this time when you see that. So,
yeah, and that's what it's about, man. It's, you know, guy worked all his life, 30 years, and done well financially, never really, you know, lived above his means. He's always kind of set money aside. So, in his golden years, he has an opportunity to take advantage of some of the finer things in life.
That's right.
And that's, you know, you got that dream car.
Yeah.
Okay. And here's your opportunity because you've done all the right things. Go buy it, ride around in it, feel good, look good. Emergency fund, that's, you know, something everybody must have because there will be emergencies, unexpected expenditures that come up. Wash machine breakdown, car breakdown, refrigerator go out, just a number of possibilities. But the thing is that you must set aside that $2,500 in case of an emergency.
If you could, I think it's say 3 months or 6 months.
3 months of wages.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Illnesses. I mean, you know, there's potential for you to get ill. You can't work. Some places don't have a really robust short-term disability plan.
You're right.
You know, if you don't have an FLAC kind of a policy that pays you while you're off, that could definitely affect your income.
If I had a friend, he had FLAC and he even acted like a promo. And he worked for the post office. And this when we were younger. We were at a party. He was standing on a table. I don't know how he got to stand on the table. We was probably like 20.
How.
We was 23, 24, how. Right? He come visit us in college.
Got some ideas.
I'm a senior in college, and he come visit us, and he stand on the table at the party, and he falls off the table, and he breaks his leg. And he had FLAC.
So they paid him.
And he thought he lost his job, but everything was covered because the insurance kicked in. He used his days.
Okay.
But he was off work for like 30 days because the leg, it really like fractured. It broke. And the checks was ridiculous.
Okay, then. Yeah. So FLAC does work.
Yeah. So that's one of them buckets, though. That's like
one of them buckets.
He wouldn't even retire. He just like, he had that bucket for those now expenses of like an emergency, but it was an insurance form.
Yeah. So he was able to, you know, weather the storm for the 30 days because 9 times out of 10, a lot of times those companies will want to get you back to work on light duty.
That's right.
Versus, you know, there's a difference between getting hurt at work and getting hurt when you're not on the job. Because when you're at work, you get hurt, there's a workers' comp, which means there's a certain percentage that they'll pay you for the wages that you would have earned. Whereas if you are not at work, your AFLAC is more than apt to take over and pay. So that's something to look at. A lot of companies do offer those kinds of plans.
You're right. Number two I have is managing your spending. So like you're in retirement, you're managing your spending. Listen to this example. For example, if you have $1 million when you retire and you can withdraw 40% in 1 year. So when you look at that, I think we're talking about the 4% rule is based on historical market return for portfolios evenly split between stocks and bonds. Mm-hmm. I know that was your type of question. Like, what do they mean by that? Like, say if I got $1 million when I retire and I take out $40,000 a year.
Well, if you take out $40,000 a year, if you do the math, that's roughly about 10 years at $40,000 is $400,000. So 20 years is about $80,000. So you're at about 22 years.
Yes.
But what they're saying is if you continue to invest the principal, you should still be able to come up with about if it's very conservative, about a 4% return, which on
$1 million.
On $1 million, 4% is what, $40,000.
Yeah, $40,000. So you get to see that back again.
$40,000. So take a look at it this way. If you just leave the principal, so what we kind of talked about last week, of $1 million, and you just extract the $40,000 a year, your basic principal remains the same. You never deplete the principal because you're taking that 4% as income every year at $40,000. So the next year.
So are you penalized then?
There's probably going to be some tax implications. There's no penalties.
Okay.
Okay. It just kind of depends on your
tax. Retirement age. You reach retirement age.
You're in retirement age.
You can touch that annuity that you put away.
And then we're going to touch on some other ones later about the various checks. But yeah, the federal government will allow you to, you know, have an income up to a certain amount when you're retired, but yet it becomes taxable.
Ah.
Okay.
Okay.
So the tax bracket is a little bit less than what it is for a person that's working because you're older. But yeah, you could just basically, if you could live off of $40,000 a year, the million can stay there.
Yeah, but nobody not living off that a year, but still.
I could live off 40 grand a year, man.
Yeah, everything paid off.
Everything paid for.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you retirement age, everything paid for. Yeah. Hey, that's $4,000 a month, roughly $3,500 a month, 32 probably.
Yeah.
Yep, $3,200 a month. That's his pocket money.
And then we talked about the other streams of income that you would have when you retire.
Yes. And that's later on in my notes, too. Right. Like, you're looking at your Social Security, your pension. And then you got this money you saved in this annuity, but it's $1 million.
Yep.
That done blew up to $1 million.
$1 million. And you're just going to live off the
interest. You can't spend all that anyway. You got to get that to them grandkids.
They going to spend it. I tell you that. It ain't going to last that long when they get their hands on it.
It's going to be some Cadillac. Oh, granddaddy got $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to make sure they name in the will. They're going to be at the house cleaning up, cutting your grass.
Cutting your hair.
Yeah, granddaddy, love you. We love you, granddaddy.
Cutting your hair and everything.
Yeah.
So that I think we get to the next one. It says protect against inflation. So when you look at the inflation rate, has averaged at least 2.2% since 2000. So when you forecast a 1.3% inflation in 2017 or 1.9, so when you think about protecting against inflation, so you got this money, this $1 million, right? And you say you take this $40,000 cap a year.
Yep.
But then what about inflation? Like, you know, cost of living going to be $1 million is not going to be the same. $1 million, $40,000 is not going to be the same. $40,000. If I'm looking at my retirement age, that'd be 20.
Oh, well, yeah. When you're looking at that far out, but from a year to year, you won't see that a huge impact. The other thing you got to think about is that we're using a conservative number for that 4%. All righty, that's somewhat like a fixed number. But if you're in some kind of a position to have some aggressiveness in your investing,
yes,
you can earn up to 12%. Okay, as long as the market stays strong, which it has been. We don't know how long this bull market is going to continue to go, but right now you take advantage of it and, you know, get as much earnings as you can. But again, like I say, you could easily get 8% in some markets. So 4% is very, very conservative when you're talking about that million. It could actually be 80 grand a year on an 8% return.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, when you look at that, it's a different number. Like you say, you play with the number. So it's so it says, inflation seems tame, but even modest inflation will significantly erode your purchasing power over time.
Over time.
Yep. Yes. So like you said, that's just a fixed number. So like when you're talking about being aggressive, you can have $1.4 million if you depend on how you do it.
Absolutely.
Because you got it mixed and say I got another equation here. It says, if you are near or just beginning retirement, advisors generally recommend a portfolio of up to 60% in stocks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you got 60% in stocks. So then you will have mutual funds. And
40% would be in your bonds.
Okay.
Okay, bonds is more of a like a fixed instrument to say, okay, because you purchased these bonds, we're going to pay you 3.5%, 4%.
So they'll hold 5%. Their amount. They'll hold their value.
Right.
But they won't exceed expectation too far.
No. No, whereas the stock market could definitely, you know, take
go
that 10, flip.
20% it depends over the term of the years.
Right. Okay. It's performed well. You've gotten 15-20% return every year. But we've all seen what happens when the market turns.
Crashes. I call
okay.
it crash.
It's the crash. All right. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. And it's just something that you got to be, you know, you got to have a stomach. To say, okay, I've done well.
Hold.
Hopefully you got a good investment person that can look at indicators. There's always indicators out there to kind of guide you when it comes to how you know, split your portfolio, where you start moving what they call preservation of capital. So, you know, over the years, I was very aggressive. Now, as you get older, you lessen your aggressiveness.
Yes, sir.
So you, instead of being 60% in stocks, you might want to be 40% in stocks and 60% in bonds, because bonds is normally a fixed instrument. Regardless of what happens in the market, that rate has really been locked in. Okay. But bonds fluctuate too, but not to the degree as stocks. But they don't have the volatility, and sometimes they don't bring the return. Heard some news today that the stock market really hurt. They heard it and they liked it. The auto industry had a great September. Stock market went up 152 points, We're already at an all-time high, over 22,000.
Yes,
yeah, looking at 23,000.
Okay. And then, like we said, we talked a couple shows earlier. Home Depot, Lowe's, the semi truck companies,
the rebuilding of these areas.
That's right. Bulk foods, all
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, grass companies, trees, drywall. You look, all building materials is about to be like skyrocketed stock.
And a lot of these people that lost their vehicles down there had to go out and buy other cars, right? Right.
Even though their vehicle's not lost.
Okay.
It's going to be sold again.
But it was, as far as the insurance company was concerned, was a total loss.
They got brand new
cars.
So
they had to go buy them a new car.
They riding good.
So all that help with the
stock market.
With the stock market and the auto industry still being robust. Because as the auto industry goes, so goes this country.
That's right.
Okay.
American made, American paid.
Yep.
That's how I look at it. Even though a lot of stuff is not made in our country.
I just heard one of the major car makers building a huge plant down in the South.
No unions.
Right. That's it. That's it.
I know Toyota came in Mississippi a couple years ago.
Toyota. BMW.
Wow.
BMW is building a large plant. I think it's in Tennessee. And most of them, you know, if you. No by design.
Yep, no union.
They built them in Georgia because they're right to work states.
That's right.
And there's not a strong union.
Yeah, they come in, pay the people off the street $25 an hour.
Pay them a living wage.
$17, $19. They like, man, I'm $19 off the street.
Yeah.
With a high school diploma, I'll do that.
Right.
So that's how they're doing it. So they're building that up, that workforce up off just, but these are times where that'd be great to get those jobs again.
Okay.
When they can in-house train you to do the technical work.
Yep. Yeah, Volkswagen has another. I mean, all the major European makers have facilities now in the United States, Mercedes-Benz, but they will not build in Michigan, Ohio, or Indiana.
So the next one I got, it says, get income from your investments. And then, so the example I have, it says, as an alternative to individual stocks, consider, and I was going to ask you a question about this one, consider exchange-traded funds and mutual funds that are that focus on investing in companies that pay dividends.
EFTs, they call them, which is a new, somewhat new product in the investment world. And again, it's all about diversification.
So a dividend is when you, like you've been investing, and when it comes, I wouldn't say the overage, but the overflow, you'll get that in a percentage back in your account. You can reinvest it or you can take it out as a check, right?
Right, right. What dividends means is that as corporations pay all their bills, okay, pay whatever the stockholders, what's ever left over after all the bills have been paid, they take the number of outstanding stocks and then divide whatever that money is into those shares. So everybody, and then they'll declare a dividend. They'll let you know when we're going to declare a dividend. And that dividend might be anywhere from 25 cents to a dollar on that stock, which is totally separate from the appreciation value of the stock. In other words, if the stock started out at the beginning of the year at 20 bucks,
that dividend check can look real good.
Yes, it can.
Stock you own.
Yeah. And it went up to 25.
Yeah,
it went up to 25 bucks, but yet they give you a dividend of a dollar. I mean, that's just extra money.
That's a check that's in your pocket. Is it taxable income?
Oh, yeah, dividends are taxable, but most people do reinvestment of dividends.
Yes.
So I don't, you know, if you get older and you got a pretty healthy stock portfolio and they pay you dividends, you know, you might take that 20, 30 grand dividend check and go on vacation.
And have fun with that.
Yeah.
I've seen and heard stories of that dividend check. So.
But you're younger, you know, the theory is to go ahead and reinvest
that's what I've been told.
Those dividends.
Put it back in.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you got dividends. I'm like, okay, I got a dividend check, but. It's not like you said, $30,000. I wouldn't mind having one of those.
Yeah, but that's what it is. It's when all the bills have been paid, what's ever left over, the company distributes that back to the shareholders based on the number of outstanding shares.
Okay. Here's one right here that, based on our demographics, I don't think it's a good idea. It says delay your Social Security benefits. So, like, the example I have, it says you can wait for it. The estimated monthly Social Security benefit for someone earning $75,000 at the age of 62 differs mightily depending on when the benefits start. Mm-hmm. So, let's say the Social Security check starts at 62, you'll get $1,382, right?
Okay.
But if you wait 4 years and 2 months, you'll see $1,971, okay?
Okay.
That's full retirement age for those returning 62 this year. But then it says, this way, if you wait to 70, you see $2,719. So, okay, right? So, at 62, I could do a lot more. Probably move, travel, do a lot more at 62, fresh out the job. But if I wait another 8 years, I see an extra $1,400.
Okay.
A month.
Yeah.
But then,
what's the life expectancy? Yeah, what's the life expectancy?
My daddy died at 86, so I'll be able to enjoy it.
So you should be right. You should be right there, right?
I probably can wait.
So it's really a math equation that you have to do. Okay. Federal government, these are real hard statistics. 12.5 checks is what the average Social Security recipient receives. Okay? It's all across the country. So that means there are a lot of folks that, you know, like my mom, 91 years old.
She beat the system.
She got a lot of checks. There are other folks that did not live very long.
So you're telling me the basic person after retirement got 12 checks? 12 checks. That's a year.
That's right. On average.
Man, you better take that money. Anybody out there, audience, you retire early, take it. 12 checks for something you work for all those years, even though Social Security is a system that's created to help balance things out. But okay, I have more than 12 checks now.
Let's do it this way. Another easy way to do it. Okay, we're just going to say 20 years. You live 20 years after retirement.
I got one, too. Yeah, go ahead.
So if you take it at 62, you multiply whatever that monthly benefit is times 20.
Okay.
Okay. And then you see what the monthly benefit is at 70. Okay. But you can't use 20 now, right?
10, you're right.
So you got to subtract that and go with 13. So now you got to take that monthly benefit, multiply it by 13, and see where you're at. And this is, again, with the hopes of being 20 years in retirement. My belief is this, depending on your financial situation, if you're 62 and you still feel well enough to work, then depending on the kind of work you do, if you can still work, get an income, you don't really need the social, okay? You can put it off. I would say 62, 66. By that time, regardless of what work you're doing, it's time to go enjoy the rest of your life, whatever you got left.
Yes, sir.
Okay. But 70, to me, unless you are a multi-millionaire many times over, you start taking your Social Security benefits.
Just like Polo. Polo, the owner of Polo, Ralph Lauren, he ended up selling his company to Gap.
Okay.
I mean, not selling them, but he gave them the fashion appeal to make Ralph Lauren right because he's 71 now.
Okay.
So he's like, I'm drawing my Social Security benefit right now. Y'all can, and I got these millions.
I don't need it, but I guess what? It's mine. Yeah, I'm
about
to take
have
it.
Some fun. Yeah. Yep, that's right. I'm about to have some fun with this pension and all this because I own the company. So, you know, he has those tools and investment tools. So he's like, I got another president. I'm done, but I'm still on the side. Send me my dividend check. I'm going to spend it. I'm not reinvesting that.
Mm-hmm.
So all those things is going on with Polo right now.
Right.
Because he brought in Gap to be, as a way to be people to look over his company while he's not really absent, but he still go to the board meetings, but he's making decisions.
He's not that day-to-day type of guy.
That's right. He might, you know, telephone in.
He might pop in once a week, twice a week, whatever.
He's out at the ranch right now.
Other than that, he has no dealings with the day-to-day. And, you know, it depends on the kind of work you do. I think we had this conversation. I mean, like a mail carrier.
Yes, sir.
Okay, at 65 in Michigan in the winter, I don't think I'd want to be 65, man, trying to carry around a mail bag, going through snowbanks and fighting snowstorms and that
Pit
kind of thing.
Bulls and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when you get to that, and I think they still have a 30 and out where you qualify for for their pension. You know, you'd be looking to go. So it depends on your occupation. But 65 is definitely, I think, the time to take that pension unless you're just so financially secure. It don't even matter.
That's right. When delaying security, this is the tip that we have. Spouses should coordinate their claiming strategies to maximize the survivor benefit. A married couple is more likely to maximize the lifetime income from Social Security if the higher earner delays taking Social Security benefits to age 70. So no matter what, who dies first, the survivor gets the largest possible benefit. So that's another way to coordinate it.
Right.
Where your spouse can be left with a nice check and y'all live together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You both got some money coming in, but if you claim a little later, she's going to be later better off, or he's going to be better off in the latter years.
Right. Depending on who passes first. And a lot of times you'll find widows and widowers that hook up, you know, later on. Yep. They don't get married.
They don't get married.
They don't get married.
Touching my check.
Because they keep them checks separate.
They worry about checking that age, though. They still get a check.
They break all the rules, dog, when it comes to getting married. But the government forced them to make that decision, because if you get married, now those benefits go away.
That's
they
right.
They get depleted.
So they get to shack up.
They
just hang out.
They 70 years old and they shack
it. Hey, I see that. Well, I be seeing that at the Y when I be seeing them working out. They be out there. Well, yeah. Look, today, I just want to finish with that's our show today, audience. I just want to finish with this. My Brother's Keeper's having something this weekend, October 7th, 2017. Obama's program, My Brother's Keeper, it's in Lansing Community College. Bring your youth out. I'm gonna be down there. It's at the Health and Human Services Building, 515 Washington Square, Lansing, Michigan. They got things going on Facebook. You can register. You can hit up Angela at oneloveglobal.org. That's TJ Duckett's organization. Spartans, they're going to be playing Michigan this Saturday, but I'm going to be in Lansing at MBK, Michigan. And we got the Dads on Deck program coming up. That's in a couple weeks. But I'm Norm and ISD. Let's keep on building. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success. 103.7 The Beat.